Gast aus Jugoslawien, Jovanka Matic. Hallo.
Hallo.
Jovanka Matic ist eine Vertreterin vom AIM-Netzwerk. Das ist ein Netzwerk, das in der ganzen Balkanregion arbeitet, von unabhängigen professionellen Journalisten, die ihre Nachrichten per Internet austauschen und den unabhängigen Zeitungen und Medien zur Verfügung stellen. We will do afterwards a discussion in English, and I will repeat afterwards. She will present IAM herself. Auf meiner anderen Seite sitzt Peter Janjatovic von Radio TV Pančevo.
Hello, great pronunciation.
Und er wird auch das ANEM-Netzwerk vorstellen. The talk is in English, as we told already. And we will just jump in our subject, asking you, it is nearly a miracle that you could join us here in our free speech camp. Such the situation is now tough for independent and journalism and media in your country. So what's your situation now?
I wouldn't say it's a miracle because we are still allowed to travel freely. Sometimes we have troubles with the visa. Of course, we are in a let's say strange position, especially because on the 24th of September we'll have elections in Serbia, or let's say Yugoslavia. So the things are going sort of fast, especially for the people who are working in the media, because the political situation is getting, let's say, sort of hot. So we have to work a lot and to cover all the news, which are so many.
Mm-hmm. And can you say something about the background situation for independent professional journalism now in your country?
Yes. I would like to give just a very short illustration of the media situation in Serbia. Here we have with us a book about 130 pages called File on Repression, which was published by the Independent Journalists Association of Serbia. It is already the fourth issue of this file on repression. And the first one was published at the beginning of this year with the idea to present how the government repressed the media during the last year, the whole last year of 1999. So this Independent Association of Journalists had an idea that every year it will publish documentary material about the situation of media. It came out that it had to publish it not once a year, but every 2 months. So this is documentary material of what happened with the media, what kind of repression the government uses only in the last 2 months, and it is 130 pages of documents. What are the ways in which the government prevents the development of independent media in Serbia? It is not a very new situation. This difficult situation of independent media is characterized of the independent media scene from the very beginning of political pluralism, which started in Serbia in 1990. And it was possible because the government succeeded to remain the privileged actor in the whole media sphere, because it controls and remained to control over the last decade all the key elements of the media field. It controls the natural resources, it controls the finances, it controls the ownership, and by the new law, the new public information law, which was introduced in 1998, and which is widely accepted as the most repressive media law in Europe, it even now controls the content of independent media.
So what I would like now that you present in which media you're working, what are your conditions, how it was created, and I would like to give the floor to Peter Janjatovic from RTV Pančevo.
First of all, Pančevo is a city placed something like 18 kilometers far from Belgrade. Radio Pančevo was founded in 1980, 20 years ago, by the city council. In 1991, when the first rallies in March were in Belgrade, Radio Pančevo was accidentally the only electronic media who was informing people what happened, because at that time regime took over B92. I mean, they closed them down. So it happens in all those years that Radio Pančevo is informing Belgrade about what's going on. In 1992, the editorial team was kicked out by the regime, and Radio Pančevo was taken over by the regime. Regime at the same year in 92 start with the TV Pančevo, and on the elections October of 96, oppositional coalition Together won in Pančevo. So after 3 months of rallies and everything, they finally say, okay, yeah, that's true. Pančevo and the other very important cities in Serbia are belonging to the oppositional leaders or parties. So in the March of 97, new editorial team, which was mainly formed by the people who were kicked out in 92, so they are back on the program. So Radio TV Pančevo in the past 3.5 years is trying to work on the terms of the professional values. So I'm not very familiar with the word independent media, let's say professional media. So in this moment, when B292, it's not possible to listen in Belgrade. I mean, just some parts can listen to. We have Radio Pančevo, who is covering Belgrade, and the TV Pančevo, who is covering a part of Belgrade. We have Radio Index, they are covering all Belgrade, and those are only electronic media who are covering the situation. At the same moment, we have a big number of independent or professional radio and TV stations all around Serbia, and they are doing their job the best way they can do into the present situation, which means that in some way the Belgrade is less informed when we make comparison with the other cities in Serbia. So people who want to know what's going on, they really have to, you know, search on the radio scale, or I have information when oppositional leader, he invests 400 Deutschmarks to buy a strong antenna to catch the TV Pančevo. So I found that sort of like compliment. So we are trying through our informative program to cover all the things which are happening in Serbia and, of course, all around the world, which are connected with our present situation. So Radio Pančevo started as a local radio. When the bad things start to happen in Yugoslavia, we really decide this is very important to work as a media who is informing people about all relevant stuff. And that's also the reason why B92 start to create the Association of the Independent Electronic Media. They start in 93 because it was really important to make a chain of the stations, to make the exchange of the program, and to help the people to work easier, because it's always, you know, sort of state monopoly in media. You have RTS, Radio Television Serbia, they are covering all the territory of Yugoslavia, and of course they are focusing their program in sort of propaganda stuff, so most of the people really don't have access to the real information. So that was the reason to create this ANEM network, just to give to the people the clear idea what's going on.
I would like to come more to a regional level, from all over the space of former Yugoslavia and also other Balkan countries, and I think that's the situation what Petar Janjatovic told about the special importance of these electronic media, which are not Belgrade, because Belgrade is somehow more under control, and these radios can make a compensation somehow in a way. And we heard this from the ANIM network, and I would like now to see it on a more regional level. What can you tell us about this, Jovanka?
I think Yugoslav media situation is very illustrative, not only for the local audience, for the Yugoslav audience, but especially for wider audience to understand what are the limits and what are the potentials of state media and independent media as two opposites. State media in Serbia are the classic example of the manipulative media which can be used by the government to promote all the non-humanitarian values which are considered as good by some Western civilization. State media do really function as a mere propaganda tool of the Yugoslav government, of the Serbian government, which promoted war in Yugoslavia and which now promotes a very autocratic regime in Serbia. Independent media, on the other hand, are the primal mechanism of democratization of the Serbian society, which the role which was not taken by the opposition political parties, for example, in Serbia. There is a saying in Serbia that Serbia has the most unsuccessful government in Eastern Europe, and it also has the most unsuccessful opposition. So it is independent media which took this very important role to promote democratic values in Serbia, and I think it is important to stress their significance and why we are talking about them today. AIM agency, which I present here today, has a very important meaning, especially because it was a regional independent agency which was established in Yugoslavia in the midst of the bloody Yugoslav wars in 1992-1993 in Croatia and Bosnia, when there was no any communication between parts of Yugoslavia which were living together just a few months ago. It was established in 1993 as a network of independent journalists coming from five different regions of ex-Yugoslavia: Slovenia, Croatia, Serbia, Macedonia, and Montenegro, because they wanted to re-establish this regular information flow to supply the audience in different parts of region with unbiased information of what was going on in parts where people from different regions had a lot of relatives, friends, acquaintances, and so on. It was the first successful attempt of this kind, and it managed to survive through all these years, first as an information agency based in former Yugoslavia, and now it has character of information agency covering the whole Balkan region. Now it has, instead of five, it has nine offices. These five were joined by Kosovo, by Albania, by Bosnia, and now it has correspondence in Bulgaria and in Greece. AIM is a peculiar information agency in several aspects. First of all, it is peculiar in a way that it is not a classic news agency which supplies just short news and hard facts. In fact, it is a feature agency with a stress on analytical approach. It means that it supplies rather analytical than factual reporting about the complex events in former Yugoslavia and the Balkan region. And it is also specific in the way that it is not commercial. It is it feeds the independent media, other independent media in the region, with information free of charge. It is an electronic computer-based network, which is very important, and owing to this new computer technology, in fact, it managed to survive in the time when there was no possibility for exchanging information on regular means. So from the very beginning, it was established as a computer network on a mailbox system with a central computer based in Paris. And at the time when there were no telephone connections, no traffic, and no exchange of any goods, traffic, and ideas at that time, it managed to reestablish this regular information flow coming from the both side of war front. It is another peculiar characteristic of AM, which I think enabled it to survive and to develop through all these years, is that it is a decentralized network, that it is not hierarchical in any sense. It doesn't have editor-in-chief. It has just a technical coordinator in Paris, but all these nine regional centers are independent in their activity. They function as regional centers where they recruit people writing for AIM from their local region and then exchange information with all others. And in that way, they don't put in danger the other parts of the network because of different government pressures put on them in different parts of Yugoslavia. So not only that it managed to provide this information to the general public, but it's another contribution to the development of media in the region was that it promoted the development of independent media, independent newspapers especially, by giving all this information, these analytical articles, to them free of charge.
So we had now some presentation about Radio TV Pančevo. We had some presentation of what was the sense to create this ANEM network and some presentation of a regional background agency, let's call it like that, AIM. And I would now come back to the more special situation. What was the possibility? What was the function? What could independent journalism, professional journalism do during this wartime and the time during which it was prepared? And I think Radio Pančevo, as you already mentioned a little bit, had a very special function during this time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I must say just one thing. We still have in Serbia a great team of very good journalists. A lot of people left the country in past 10 years. But still, we have excellent journalists, excellent analysis, and most of their work you can find in the printed media. So people who are buying printed media regularly, they are very, very well informed. But let's say average salary in Serbia now is something like 70 or 80 Deutschmarks, which means most of the people cannot afford themselves to buy a printed media every day. And I think this is one of the reasons why regime is, more concentrated on electronic media. I mean, radio is for free, TV is free. You don't have to pay for that. So I think they focus themselves to cut all those media. Of course, printed media also had a lot of problems. I mean, every now and then they have to go to trial to pay a big amount of money for some article they print, somebody was insulted or something like that. But I would just want to make this mm-hmm. distinction. And our experience is, of course, it's hard to work in bad circumstances. We don't have enough money to organize ourselves in the proper way, but somehow we manage. I really don't know how. We are using information from the independent agencies Beta and Phonet, so those are very important sources. Also, we have some sort of alternative network, because on the very first day of the bombing of Yugoslavia, 24th of March last year, police came into the radio B92, shut them down, and most of the ANEM organization collapsed in a few days. So we were in the situation, we have to do something, and we just spent something like 24 hours making a telephone contacts with all media in Serbia and Montenegro, and we managed during those 77 days to have some kind of correspondence. So it was like everything on a voluntary basis, and in that really bad situation we managed to work, thanks to the, you know, to the colleagues, to professional way of thinking during the bad time. Also, Pančevo was under a heavy attacks, because in Pančevo there is a big industrial zone, and it was bombed quite often. So we were something like, you know, important part. So a lot of media were concentrated on us. So it was in some way easy to become some kind of the center, especially because we are close to the Belgrade, so we had all those information. So what I'm about to say, most of the things we are working, we're managing, it's something like friendship, colleagues, and some, I mean, you cannot talk about the regular way of working. And it seems it would be like that.
And over the more, there was, you talked already about this very repressive information law, but there was during the war and also immediately before, preparing all this question of censorship, where people had a very difficult situation, especially in the printed media, because they had to give every issue of the newspaper, and sometimes regime even decided, we want to keep these independent newspapers, but we don't, we want to control completely what they write, because then we can keep a little bit our image that we have still an independent press. So that was a very special situation.
It was a tricky situation, you know. Yeah. I was really surprised. I wrote some article for magazine Vreme, something like 20 days when the bombing started, and I received the emails from my colleagues, friends from all around the world, and they told me, this is not clever, you shouldn't do that. People would think that you're collaborating with the system. I said, come on, read my article, and you'll find my opinion inside, because the article was about those concerts in the center of Belgrade. I didn't like that. I mean, people got killed, and they play some sort of idiotic songs. I mean, fun song, you know, disco or something, you know. So I understand, but that was really a special situation. I mean, no one of us ever thought we would be in a situation like that. Our decision was, I mean, my editor-in-chief, Ofelia Batskovic, she used to say, because very often people used to ask, how come the government did shut you down during the bombing? And her answer is, probably we find a proper measure between professionalism and patriotism. Our way of patriotism was to give the proper information. So we were dealing just with the information, no comments, absolutely nothing. Also, we didn't follow the suggestion by regime to use a lot of epithets, nasty epithets, when we are talking about the Clinton, NATO and everything. This is not the journalism. So we were really interested only in the information, and we felt, especially I've told you about the Pančevo position, every day was a big danger of ecological catastrophe, because those factories are full of heavy poison chemistry. And most of the people were listening to the radio Pančevo just to know if they have to leave town immediately. So this is, you know, a big duty. So our idea was to during those days to be the relevant media, the trustful source, and that was the only way. I mean, we put only instrumental music, because we didn't want to put something like, you know, funny songs. We played 2,140 hours of instrumental music. Can you imagine to find that? and the jazz news every hour or every half an hour, it depends on the situation. And that was the only thing we done. I mean, we did our job, nothing else. Mm.
So I suppose it must have been a quite difficult time also for a regional agency, background agency with features and so. With quite a lot of tensions, because I can imagine people seeing not from the same point of view or not the same geographical position as Kosovars or Macedonians who had to deal with all these refugees coming from Kosovo, seeing all this misery with their eyes, and people sitting beyond the bombs, you know.
Right. But it is exactly these situations of a very strong conflict where these advantages, these peculiar characteristics of AIM prove their value, this nature of the AIM concept, which I was mentioning, network of independent journalists, non-commercial nature, decentralized nature, computer-based exchange of information, and they proved valuable in the situation of a strong conflict. For example, AIM was the first media outlet which enabled the information exchange between the two entities of Bosnia. In Bosnia during the war, Muslim and Serb side have their media which were promoting their national causes very strongly, and AIM established itself as the only reliable source that had correspondence from both sides. The same thing happened in Macedonia, where there are Albanian media and Macedonian media, and there is a complete ethnic segregation of journalists and of media. So AIM was the only media source which brought together Macedonian and Albanian journalists and made them work together on a strictly professional basis. In Kosovo, as well, before the bombing, it was the only source where Albanian and Serb journalists worked together and contributed their articles for papers in Croatia and Slovenia and Serbia. There is an interesting example when the first Kosovo independent newspaper appeared, the daily newspaper, Koha Ditore, and they published an article by a Serbian author. There was a great resistance among the great dissatisfaction among the Albanian Kosovo public, which didn't like to see a Serbian name in Albanian newspaper. But when they put AIM and put that it was agency based in Paris, they accepted very nicely. So it was the content that was acceptable, and this was just a formal thing, whether it was based in Belgrade or in Paris. In fact, it formally it is based in Paris. But that is the way how these things could have been solved. So there is a lot of mutual trust among these journalists who work together, who meet, for example, regularly on a 2 or 3 month basis each time. They don't have their chief, they are all chiefs by themselves, but they meet together, they discuss things, and whenever they have problems seeing the things from different points of view, the principle was to allow a diversity of views. So in AIM production, which is now put on internet and is very easily accessible in English and in original languages, in Slovenian, in Croat, in Bosnian, I mean Serbian, Macedonian, and Albanian, and Bulgarian, it is possible to see all range of views coming from these different regions. During the bombing, the people in Belgrade, AIM correspondents in Belgrade, were also under very great danger because all the publishing was censored. So the way they solved this problem was to put their articles through Montenegro office. By computer technology, it is very easy. They will write the article from Belgrade, but just put it in the network from Montenegro Center, so a reliable information would appear from Belgrade as well.
Well, I think it's important to add that during the Kosovo War, that the staff of IEM in Kosovo had to leave. They had to flee. And they flew to Macedonia or to Montenegro, so it's just to add that they were in safety.
Right.
But still, they with the aid of their colleagues, for instance, in Montenegro, they managed to keep a little bit of work going, Balkan Press Review and so on. So that was just to add it. And I think we should would like now to come to a point to speak what was the post-war situation, because one can imagine how things got on afterwards. I think the laws stayed, and there is, let's say, even more repression now than there has been before or during. And I would like to hear something about how do you estimate the situation of professional journalism, let's say, versus patriotic journalism. But because that's the question somehow in all these questions. What is your possibilities and what is your conditions now after the war?
On the 17th of May this year, the government took over the TV Studio B, Belgrade TV Studio B, which was so-called independent. I mean, they gave a lot of information, but also they were pro-SPO party. And on the very next day, the government took over the transmitter of Radio Pančevo, so we couldn't covered the Belgrade for something like month and a half. Then we managed something with the spare transmitter, putting him a little bit stronger. So this is, you know, their way, just to take away that. When we ask the authorities to give us back the transmitter, they say that we broke some law 14, that we call people to violently kick out the regime. And with this little transmitter, we all the time we covered the Pančevo and the part of the Vojvodina region, which means that through our program we call people to voluntary attack regime only in Belgrade, not in Pančevo, because they didn't have trouble with the Pančevo. But anyway, so they all the time they put some, you know, some little troubles, which of course used to go to lead to the bigger troubles. As I've told you, 24th of September elections, we really don't know what will happen in the next 3 weeks. I mean, they are preparing a lot of things, who knows what. Also, I would like to mention something. If or when Milosevic will not be in the power in Serbia.
Finally.
that doesn't mean we've done our job, because we faced the situation when we started to work on Radio TV Pančevo, March 97, that some of the oppositional party leaders who are in charge in Pančevo, they thought, this is Radio Pančevo, they will do our job. I mean, they thought we are sort of like their press agents. And we really tried, we wasted months and months explaining them, hey, come on, we are working for people, not for you. Which means, in the future, we always will have to take the same position. And I hope most of our colleagues will do the same. That transition we'll have to walk through in the next 5 years would be also very heavy. And I think the independent or professional media, it's always something like conscience for everybody.
Well, it was a real great plaidoyer for professionalism and that not to be taken over whatever political side, to stay in its profession and stay critical about it and point out what is going wrong. I would like to ask you to tell more generally what is the situation now for not for just in general, with this new law they have promoted about terrorism and slander where they are attacking independent and professional journalists with?
In Serbia, the government has prepared a draft of so-called anti-terrorism law, which promised to publish any anti-government activity, because all the time, all these 10 years, the government is paying on one card on the anti-Serbian conspiracy by the West against the Serbian people, not only against the Serbian state, but against the Serbian people as such. So there was a great fear when the law was announced to be adopted, but fortunately, owing to some disagreement among the coalition partners, the extreme radical party, Šešelj's party, and the ruling socialists, the law hasn't been accepted yet, and probably won't be accepted until the election is over. It is just another threat posed to freedom of public speech, which is the desperate, I would define it as a desperate act by the government, which loses its support very rapidly. The latest opinion polls show that only about 25% of the population support the regime at this moment. So the regime really relies on repression more and more, and this anti-terrorism law was just one of these attempts to retain the control over the society. I would say something more as a media researcher, because I'm a media researcher as well. I work in the Institute of Social Sciences in Belgrade, where I do a lot of media policy and media and journalism research, that it is really the media and independent journalism which should be praised in Serbia just for surviving, just for staying there, for being there, because of all this repression. Not only abolished the economic basis for the work of independent media. Independent media are, as a rule, a small, very poor, very threatened media with a very negative public image promoted of them by the state media. So it means that these journalists work under great repression, under great instability. They never know whether their newspaper, radio station will operate tomorrow. The government could just take over them over the night, as it happened. There were several cases where the government annulled the privatization process of some media and took them over, turning them from independent into government media, or would fine them with such fines, with such draconian fines, according to this new information law, which simply cannot permit it to exist anymore. Newspaper Danas, for example, which is the main independent daily paper in Belgrade, was fined several times, and four times in a row this charge, this suit was brought to them at 9 o'clock in the evening, with the invitation for the trial process that will start 10 o'clock the next morning. So they wouldn't even have time to prepare themselves for that trial. So it means that journalists are really they pass through this very difficult time, but they learned all these tactics of survival, and so I think it won't be difficult time for them once when the situation gets normal to develop even more and to promote this professional journalism, to promote their profession in the way they did all these years. Just a small point about what AIM is doing concerning the future of this independent journalism, that a new stress of AIM is to educate young journalists, to educate them to do their job professionally. And the stress on education of young journalists is especially in those regions which were media black spot regions, where there were no independent media. The young people which were exposed to this ethnic hatred for a long time. So in all these regions where AIM operates, several very successful courses were carried out, where young people were taught how to respect the other ethnic side, and the stress was to put people of different ethnic origin in the same training group, so that through mutual cooperation and mutual learning, they could learn to respect each other. So it was done in Mostar, for example, where the city in Bosnia, which is still divided by river into a Muslim and Croat part. So it was the first educational experiment where people from two parts of the city were going to the same school. It was done in Kosovo, where a group of trainees was composed of Albanians and Serbs. It was done in Macedonia, where the trainees were Macedonians, Albanians, Turks, and Gypsies. So I think this is a very important effort that has to be developed in this region in order to promote this ethnic tolerance, which is still a value that we wished for.
So let's say we at least, after all these explanations about repression and the tough situation, on some more future view, which is somehow a little bit in an optimistic sense, if there is one, then yeah. This is that there will be a new generation of journalists, that there will be a big accent put on professionalism, which is not going to any side or any national. And that's perhaps the hope on which we can finish our live talk here. Perhaps you have something to add, Peter?
Just a few facts. The journalist Miroslav Filipović was sent to jail for 7 years. They say he's a spy. The editor-in-chief of TV Soko was in jail for 1 year because he put one B-92 poster in his office, and the poster was symbolically talking about that we don't have a freedom media in Serbia. So for 1 year in prison because of the poster, come on.
Filipović is in jail now.
He's in jail. They put him in a jail 3 or 4 months ago for 7 years. And I think in past 10 years, people who are working in a journalism, they have a great school, and they be a great journalist in the future.
Mm-hmm. So I would just like that you tell us your email addresses or your websites, or how can we listen, for instance, by Real Audio to Radio TV Pančevo, and to say to all the listeners at the radio station. And that, I think, will be our end of our live
speech. You will understand nothing except music, because it's in the Serbian. It's possible to listen to Radio Pančevo on the Real Audio, and the address is www.freeserbia.org.
AIM has a very developed internet site, and it can be approached at the address www.aimpress.org.
So that I will just announce once more with whom we spoke. We spoke with Jovanka Matic from AIM Network, and we spoke with Petar Janjatovic from Radio TV Pančevo, and also representing the AIM Network here. Myself, I'm Kati Hahn. I'm a partner from the partner organization of AIM in Austria. I'm running the AIM office in Austria, and I'm from the European Civic Forum. I just tell you our next program on Radio Fro on frequency 105.0. It's at 14 p.m. Solidarity and Alert campaigns with representatives of Reporters Without Frontiers and International Media Help. Das Ganze jetzt nochmal auf Deutsch. Unser nächstes Programm auf Radio Froh 105,0 MHz ist wieder eine Live-Übertragung, und zwar 14 Uhr, Solidarity and Alert Campaigns mit einem Vertreter von Reporter ohne Grenzen Österreich und einem Vertreter der Internationalen Medienhilfe, Herrn Björn Askinat. Auf Wiederhören.
Radio Froh im Rahmen der Ars Electronica 2000. Das Free Speech Camp schlägt sein Lager auf. Vom 3. bis 7. September im Ars Electronica Quarter in Linz. Das Ganze noch einmal. Das Ganze noch einmal. Das Free Speech Camp schlägt sein Lager auf. Vom 3. bis 7. September im Ars Electronica Quarter in Linz. Radio Froh im Rahmen der Ars Electronica 2000.